Welcome back to Tottenham Hotspur, available on all of your favorite podcast platforms. You can also interact with the show on Twitter, Instagram, and our Facebook page, along with our website and blog at podspur.com. There will also be a link tree in this episode description with all of those links, so please follow the show, follow all the guys, and click that subscribe button to join the conversation and never miss a Podspur. Hey there, and thanks again for joining us live on Tottenham Podspur. It is Sunday, August 14th, and we're talking all about Spurs, Chelsea, and a lot more. I'm your host, Matt, and I'm joined once again in the virtual Podspur studio by Scott and Dustin, and a big return to Podspur from season one. If you listened all the way back then, you'll recognize the voice of my good friend, Mr. Jordan Bold. So we'll get to all these guys in a sec. So let's actually start with Jordan being back on the pod for the first time in a while. What's up, my friend? I know you're out of NYC, but you're in DC today. Did you end up going to DC Spurs and watch with them, or did you watch from the hotel?
Hey, Matt. First and foremost, it's glad to be back, man. Glad to be back. I'm talking all things Tottenham, but to answer your questions, I just ended up staying in the hotel. I did contemplate going to DC Spurs to watch it, but just considering the fact that I was doing this pod, I feel like I'm more focused when I watch the game just by myself and just able to like take some mental notes before coming on the pod. So just took this one in the hotel room for now, but it probably would have been a delight to go to DC Spurs, but just given my return to the pod, I just had to take some notes for the game, and I feel more focused doing that just solely. But yeah, man, just
dedication. It's impressive.
Yeah, man, but glad to be back, and thanks to you, Matt, and Dustin, and Scott. Pleasure to meet you guys. I'm just ready to get back to all things Tottenham, you know?
Yeah, man, it's a joy having you back on. I appreciate the professionalism. I wish I could say the same, although when I do go to Rhode Island Spurs to watch, I get pretty hammered, but, you know, because it was an early match today, I did continue drinking and am pretty hammered at the time of recording this, but hey, you know, it is what it is. But let's kick it down to North Carolina and Scott, who's on the wagon with me. What's up, Scott?
What's up, man? How you doing?
Yeah, I told you, man, I'm doing good. I'm feeling great. I'm excellent. Tweet out there, try to get some questions. And then I asked if I should keep drinking beers or switch to bourbon. Nobody answered, so I just kept going with beers because I was hanging in the backyard. But I see you sipping something, so I know you're on the train, yeah, too. Yeah,
this is a Dogfish Head vodka soda.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's good. It's a blueberry shrub. It's delicious.
What do you got for the percentage on that bad boy?
7.
Oh, 7%. There you go. So I got to say, actually, bringing it back, when we recorded last Sunday night, I was playing in a golf tournament the next day, and I played with my brother and two of his friends. It was for the athletic department at the school that I teach at, and we actually took home first place. We won it by one stroke. We were 13 under. It was hot as fuck. I had my first transfusion ever, and let me tell you, that's a nice little drink right there. It was a canned cocktail, 7%. I know Barstool puts out one, so I get on the Portnoy train with that. But this was a different brand. But it's a little grape, little ginger, and a little vodka. And you know, it hydrates you nice on the course. And then I had a few afterwards. There was a nice little barbecue spread for us after. So it was a good time. And we won a nice prize of a foursome to a pretty private course in Rhode Island that you could not get on otherwise. So the four of us that won it are going to go play together and be a little bougie and probably get drunk on that course and maybe get kicked off. But, you know, I figured the listeners would want to know how I fared in that golf tournament, and letting you know, we took home the trophy. Hopefully that's a good omen for Spurs, and hopefully Spurs take home a trophy this season. And the fourth man in the crew today is no one other than my good friend, Dustin Gentile. Dustin, how you doing, man? You were back to school this week, so I'm sure not your favorite week of the year.
You know what? It's okay. We don't have kids, and we do a short week. It's a Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, so it's not too bad. My kids were really good. Sidebar, if you ever need some entertainment, I resurrected a thing I started doing when I first got into teaching called hashtag stuff my students say. And there are some pretty entertaining ones of those, and I thoroughly plan on keeping those up through the rest of the year. So my first class is a group of 10 seniors, and that's right, 10 kids, one class. It's pretty awesome. So they're going to be a trip, because if you read the one about the kid in the cologne, it came from that group. But no, it was a good week. Last week was my sister's birthday. This week was my mom's birthday. So we actually just got back from enjoying a nice steak dinner for my mom's birthday. So it was really good. And I myself am having a nice little sippy over here. But it's just just a little cider. But it is gluten free, so you know, I feel better about my life.
Hey, big shout out and happy birthday to the Gentile fan. Dustin, we didn't talk about this off air, but maybe we can collaborate and maybe we can put a little little school shenanigans podcast together, a little side project. Because I have a note app on my phone that's called The Book, and it's just a rolling thing of things the kids say, things we say as teachers, yeah. Funny interactions. So
you know what? I would be down for that. I actually the COVID school year, so not like 2020 when we first shut down, but the next year we had a little more time on my hands, and I had some ideas about maybe trying to do a teaching something with that. So maybe that is something we'll collab about. So
yeah, for sure. Let's definitely talk off air, but diving into the action on this one again. It is Sunday, August 14th. We're recording this around 9:30 p.m. Eastern time, just to give you a little bit of context. And we're going to talk all about Spurs 2-2 draw at the Bridge versus Chelsea. But before we do dive into the action and look at the lineup, I want to kick it to Scott. And Scott, you've been brave enough to take on the running points versus last season segment. So go ahead and take us through this one as we finish up match week two.
So I'll say, you know, I'm a spreadsheet guy. It's what I do for a living just about. And this thing turned into a little bit of a bear compared to what I expected. I'm at column V on my file. Because I also wanted to track goal difference because I thought that would be something interesting to see. I've got home and away, both points and goal difference. And I'll share this with you guys at some point. I want to make sure it's like functional to share first. But if you guys remember the Southampton result, we actually lost to them last season. So picking up 3 points with the first match was a 3-point net year over year. And it was actually a 4-point swing in goal difference just in the first match alone. Now the Chelsea match, you know, we'll talk about the details here in a little bit, but we lost that one by a goal difference of 2 in last season. So the 1-point pickup was a net 1 point, and the 0 goal difference was a net pickup of 2 goal difference year over year. So as we go, this thing will become more and more accurate because we'll drop more assumptions based on last year's running total, and we'll pick up more actuals for this season. But if you guys remember last season, we finished with 71 points. We've picked up a net plus 4 year over year in comparative results. So we're tracking for 75 points. Last season, we had a goal difference of 29, and we've actually picked up 6 goals on goal difference year over year in just 2 matches. So we're tracking for a goal difference of 35. So 75 points and 35 goal difference in just 2 games.
Hey, Scott, did we score against Chelsea last year?
We did not.
No. I would say I don't think we did.
It was 8-0 in all comps. So that was embarrassing as well, right?
Yeah. You know, I got a stat for you guys too. So I've got a buddy of mine who the guy who got me into watching the Premier League, and he and I started doing a thing like if you take away the teams and just look at the raw data of who, if you place, you know, if you look at all the winners, how many points do they get? What's their goal difference look like? If you start to look at all of those things, what's it going to take to get that average amount of points and that average placement right here? And I think it's 75 points. 75 points would more than for sure put us in the top 4. I actually think that would put us right around finishing in that average third place.
Yeah.
And that is 70. And that's from the time that
go ahead, sorry.
No. I was going to say the average that's the average third place looking at it across that, and the goal difference on that too is pretty spot on as well.
Yeah, typically if you get 72 points, you're firmly in the top 4. 75 is going to get you third, like you said. That's a very strong goal.
And my sheet also tracks it from because you switched from 22 to 20 teams in the 1996 season. So, 75 points would put us firmly in third place. And then the goal differential, would you say we've tracked 6 more? So that would put us at a plus 35. That would also put us in that and that firmly in that third place little spot. So I've got some cross references there for us. Scott, I didn't even think about it.
Very interesting. I do love the metrics of all of that. Like I said, I'm not a numbers guy, but you guys give me visuals and I'll get there. So the fact that Scott's already on that, what is it, column V or whatever it is, worries me a little bit. But
he's got me beat. My rumor roundup stuff and my club stuff only goes to column S. So
well, just to kind of preview something. So looking at this made me sick because I had to compare year-over-year totals. So in order to do that, obviously I had to log every finish of last year's matches. We lost to Wolves at home, Brighton, Manchester United, Southampton. Like, that's just at home. All of that makes me sick. So if we just don't fuck those up, we're looking over 80 points. I don't want to jinx it and get ahead of myself, but there's a net pickup here very quickly.
Just handling the business at home.
Just don't be stupid. Yeah.
It's there. It's there for the taking, is what you're saying. But let's dive into the action today, and we'll start with the lineup. It was, you know, pretty familiar, unchanged from last time out. Larissa Nett, the back three of Romero, Dyer, and Davis, the midfield four of Emerson Royale, Pierre-Emile Højbjerg, Bettencourt, Sessegnon, and the attacking front three of Heung-Min Son, Harry Kane, and Dejan Kulusevski. Let's start with you, Jordan. Was the unchanged lineup what you expected and what you hoped to see?
Yeah, for sure. I didn't really expect any significant change from the Southampton game. I do know that I was kind of gambling to see whether or not Richarlison would actually start. However, that was quite difficult given Kulusevski got us a brace in the Southampton game, opening game of the season. So that probably was a pretty difficult one for Conte to make. So, and then another change that I thought I would see at least would probably be Perisic for Sessegnon, but Sessegnon too had a good game. I mean, scoring in the season opener. So, I wasn't expecting any like significant change in the lineup. I thought it was it's going to be the same lineup as usual. So I wasn't expecting too much change. So
yeah. No, I hear you, Dustin. How about you? Were you good with this one, or were you hoping anyone else kind of snuck
the the only possible change I saw was maybe we would see Bissouma for PEH, but other than that, that lineup we got was what I expected. So
cool. How about you, Scott?
No, I didn't think we'd see any changes. As the match wore on, I kind of hoped that we had. But at the outset, no, I think the right decisions were made.
No, definitely. I'm right with you guys. This was pretty much what I expected, what I probably hoped to see. And, you know, it all played out pretty well. I think Spurs came out pressing and winning the ball and making life pretty difficult for Chelsea early on until the 19th minute when Koulibaly hit that rocket off the corner, which I give a lot of praise post-match on my Twitter to Gianni Vio and the set-piece coaching, but I do know he's also coaching the defensive side of it. But Scott, let's talk about that corner and the absolute shit and lack of marking that we saw from Tottenham Hotspur on that corner.
You can't really get super upset about that, right? Like, you got a brick shithouse of Koulibaly who volleys one in, like, from...
I blinked and thought it was Lukaku.
No, Lukaku would have sent that to Rose Z.
Yeah, that's fair.
I mean, like, if really, like, I wasn't even mad. You think about it, you've got a 30-year-old center back who just came from Serie A, who just fucks one in from 14 yards on a volley. Like, what are you going to do? Like, what are the odds of that happening? Like,
and he kind of shinned it too. Like, it wasn't fully clean contact.
You play 38 games a season, right? How many center backs are you going to play that can do that? You
Scott,
play the numbers.
Did Koulibaly's goal fall in the Thunder Bastard category?
Total Thunder Bastard. Absolutely. and you think about it, like, it's fundamentally, we do zonal marking on a lot of these things. You man mark some, but you're zonal marking on that area. You're never going to send somebody back there. How many center backs in the league are going to – what's the XG there, right?
Right.
Very little.
The zonal marking piece of that, if you look at the way the zone was set up, it's probably Sonny that's marking him on the volley. Right? Sonny's that top left point.
of all the chances in the first half, I wasn't even mad when they scored that. Like, you know what? Cheers, congratulations. That was worth every penny they spent on him. Yeah. Like,
no, I hear that, and you know, I get that. That's probably a one in a, you know, whatever hit, but it also drives me nuts that it's another free kick goal conceded.
The XG on that goal, according to FotMob, was 0.05, and the XG for the goal on target was 0.34. So it was pretty low.
Oh, there you go. Jordan, what'd you make of that goal and the lack of defending on it?
When I first saw it, I kind of I was pretty displeased just given nobody marked Kubalele. I mean, like Scott said, it wasn't really like a clean cut hit, but I would expect at least some effort, someone to at least mark him, whether it be, I mean, it'd be Romero or I guess Sonny's, given that, like you said, he was most likely the man to mark him. But I just wasn't pleased with the lack of marking. And then if you remember later on in the game, he almost got another one.
Yeah.
I think the opposite end of the
exact same thing.
Yeah. But yeah, just I don't know, like how we concede to set pieces like that. I know set pieces have been a thorn in the side for a while, but I was just really kind of just definitely was pleased with giving up a set piece goal like that. But in the end, it all worked out. But as far as I know, I wasn't pissed, but I was like you can't be serious, right?
No, I hear you with that one. Dustin, you know, the goal found the back of the net. And then, so that was the, what do we have here? That was the 19th minute.
Yeah.
From the 19th minute till the halftime whistle, it was all Chelsea.
Yeah, it was rough. I didn't, like, it just completely, like, I've, you know, right, made my notes. And I was like, the first 8 to 10 minutes, I thought we were on the front foot. We looked like we were going to go after it. And then I don't know what clicked and we just changed it. But, you know, you talk about in that first half, you know, our front three plus Ryan Sessegnon were just kind of a ghost out there. Like, and it's, I don't think they necessarily did too many things wrong. It's just, they weren't, just the ball wasn't coming to them. They weren't in the play. I'll say, take away the goal. That was really Chelsea's only really high quality chance of the first half though. Like, we actually, from a back three standpoint, cleared a lot of the danger and nothing, didn't let anything, you know, really scary get into Lloris. So that is a positive on that. But yeah, I was really hoping we'd come out with on the front foot and take the game to them early on. And then that goal happened and it definitely didn't happen from there.
No, so Sess definitely had the best chance of the first half for us. Mendy made a good save, but it was kind of a poor shot placement from Sess. But outside of that, he was beaten like a redheaded stepchild up and down the flank for the duration of the 45.
He got done. What was done to him was what he did to Kyle Walker-Peters last week. So
right. No, that's definitely a great shout. Scott, what did you make of the performance post the Chelsea goal and how Chelsea kind of took us out to the woodshed for the rest of the half?
You know, I hate to say it, but I think Tuchel got the best of Conte in the first half as far as the tactics go.
And I'd agree with you there for sure.
Yes. When you saw the lineup, I actually said it in our group chat, the Ruben Loftus-Cheek plus having Cucurella and Reece James made me a little bit unsure. Like, I was nervous because I didn't know where Loftus-Cheek, because he's played wing back before, he's played the central midfield before, and he actually did this against us in January, where he would, in defense, he would kind of sit back in that back group, and then in attack, he'd kind of join the midfield and kind of outnumber us no matter where we wanted to be. And he did that again. And I don't know if Conte didn't think that would happen because we had a better lineup, or like why he thought that might not happen this time, but it worked against us in January and it worked against Real Madrid. It worked against some other teams they played and they just did it again. And I guess he wasn't expecting it perhaps, or maybe he was, and it was just a good enough tactic that it overwhelmed us, but it outnumbered us in both attack and in defense. There was very little we could do. Especially, and I'm not going to do this, but when you've got Emerson, who's not helpful in build-up, you've got Sessegnon, who is a good player defensively and in attack, but he's not a build-up guy. He's not a play the ball, get the ball, play the ball. He's not going to help progress it. He's a finisher and a defender.
Scott, you had a really good – sorry to cut you off, but you had a really good quote on Sessegnon in match in our group chat about being a box player. Right. Go ahead and elaborate on that a bit.
Yeah. I think Sessegnon is potentially elite in both boxes. Like, he's a good defender one-on-one. He's a good finisher. He's a good crosser. Once he's in either of the final thirds, he's good. In the middle third, when it comes to passing, building up, and finding space to progress the ball forwards, he's not that good yet. And a match like today exposed that. You know, he's got very little composure when he's being pressed. And you can look at any match where we've been pressed in the past where, like against City, he looked really good. Against Liverpool, he looked really good because he's defending most of the time. When he's got the ball and somebody's coming after him, he doesn't have a lot of space. He gets nervous, and he tends to lose it. And when he's passing it to Højbjerg and Son is getting man marked by Reece James, there's not a lot of chances. And also, by the way, I love Harry Kane. He had Moussa Sissoko's first touch in a lot of the game today. Like, it was not good. Like, there was one particular time when he received the ball in like a archetypical time for him to turn and look for Son. He just lost it. I was like, what are you doing? Like, did you drink last night? Like, what happened here? Like, he should have at least received the ball and passed it back to Dyer or Romero or someone, and he couldn't even retain the ball in the midfield. It was a very disjointed and not even the reliable players in reliable moments could provide those types of moments for us.
No, I agree with you there. I think it was very much a series of heavy touches. He had that one. Højbjerg had tried to receive a pass just outside the 30, and it just clanked off him. And I think, like, you know, if there's anyone else, they could probably turn on that ball. But, you know, we're playing Pierre-Emile Højbjerg as a progressive midfielder in this squad.
At that point in the game, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I talked earlier about the lineup, and when I eventually figured out it wasn't right, that's when I figured out it wasn't right. Like, the moment felt too big for Sess, the moment felt too big for Højbjerg, and it may have not been the moment, it may have been the tactics, but like, Perisic contributes in build-up. Bissouma retains the ball, turns on it. I'm assuming he's who you mean when you say exactly. Keeps it, yep. And turns on it. Like, he's more press resistant, both of them are. And Chelsea just blitzed the shit out of us when it comes to, like, okay, you want it? Here it is. And then those guys just couldn't cope. And that's not their fault. That's who they are as players right now. But it was just too much for them.
No, I agree with you. But that took us to the halftime, down 1-0. A pretty tame first half as far as the rest of the match went. And, you know, a little bit underwhelming for Spurs, for sure. But looking at halftime, things kind of started the same way. Chelsea were on the front foot, looking forward. And then the 57th minute, Richarlison comes on for Ryan Sessegnon. And to put it nicely, kind of all hell breaks loose. Formationally, I think I think we're sitting in a 4-2-4. That's the way that I saw it. It was, you know, Højbjerg and Bentancur in the midfield. Davis slid out to left back. And then we had Son on the left. We had Kane and Richarlison kind of centrally, with Kane dropping back, you know, a little bit deeper than he was doing before, and Kulusevski out on the right. That's, I think, about as astute of a prediction that I could give it. Yeah. And that was mostly in attack, but that's mostly what we saw for it. So I give a lot of credit to that. So, Jordan, talk a little bit about that substitution and how it kind of gave us a little bit of life in the attack.
I guess, like you, Matt, I was a little confused with Richarlison coming in for Sessegnon, but it did like open us up a little bit for the attack pressure wise to get the pressure off Kane and Sonny. Although I feel like our woes really didn't like disappear in terms of midfield and what Chelsea was doing, I did feel like it gave us more opportunity to attack. And I think I can't remember the exact minute, but there was one chance that Harry Kane had that literally cut right.
Oh, yes. Yes. He was one-on-one.
Yeah.
61st minute.
Yeah. 61st. But I did feel like that substitution did give us life for the attacking. Although, like I said, it kind of,
I think it freed up Kane to an extent, so yeah, that he gets that chance, right, Jordan?
You know what it felt like, though? it felt like more of a defensive change, as weird as it is,
right.
Because Richarlison was up top in the press, mm-hmm. and he was running like a fucking lunatic. Like there was not a Chelsea defender that had a second to breathe.
I tweeted out.
So as weird as that is, like a striker for a left back, the pressure right. was ratcheted up like crazy.
It speaks to the press, because I tweeted out post-match how much I love that and how much he brought to it, because he just does not stop running. He just ran for the entire,
There's no lost cause.
33 minutes he was in, right?
Yeah. I mean, he'll chase anything in the channel. He'll chase any. I mean, how many times did he knock a ball out for a throw in the final third just from running his ass off?
I mean, I'll give it credit to his hair dye right now, but he is a fucking golden retriever. He will chase anything. You know, like you said, he is up and down the pitch. He's all over the place. And I think it really led to, 11 minutes after he came on, the Pierre-Emile Højbjerg goal, which was assisted by none other than Mr. Ben Davis. Dustin, talk about that substitute of Richarlison coming on and the goal from Højbjerg, which he so nicely slotted into the left side.
It was a pretty one. But to talk about Richarlison first, think about when we signed him and we talked about what he was going to bring us. Today was kind of – I mean, yes, we're expecting him to bring us some goals too. But like that ability, we talked about his just all over the place, his energy. He made the difference today. I know we've talked about man of the match, and I'm not necessarily saying he was man of the match, but man, he was a difference maker though. And sure. And it's the little things like that. I think, I think about you guys know my love for the one, the only big sexy Fernando Llorente, but he would come in and do those things. Not necessarily always score, but he would give us a change up in play style, and it impacted a lot of games, and there was I'm expecting Richarlison to create a lot more goals than Fernando did, but that change up was huge. And the goal from PEH is one of those things, like he always seems like he's one of those guys when we just need kind of the out of nowhere goal. He's kind of become the guy in a way. I think about the goal against Liverpool he scored in the new stadium the first year he was with the team. We were not playing well against Liverpool, and then he had that rocket, and I know Liverpool ended up immediately scoring, but like it gave us some energy. We came out of that. He's done that a few times. Like he just, when he brings us a goal or he gets a goal, I feel like it's always a big kind of momentum boost for us. And if that's going to be, he's going to provide us, I mean, I'm all for it. It was a nice little, we found our footing at that moment, and we actually were able to, when we've had the ball once in the attacking end and we're able to do something with it other than hit it into a Chelsea player, it seemed like it was like, okay, we've actually done something with the ball and we got rewarded for it. So it was kind of a relief that we were going to actually do something when we had a decent actually spell of the ball in the attacking end.
Oh, for sure. Jordan, I always bust your balls about being a closet toffee. What did you make of Richarlison and his Spurs debut today?
I thought it was solid. Definitely, I was hoping for a goal, but I thought it was a solid. He came off the bench. Came off the bench, contributed, opened up the attack for us, and I thought I'd probably give him a 6.5 out of 10, maybe 7 for the day. But yeah, going back to what Destin said and what Scott said, he literally was just running like all over the place, which obviously freed up a lot of chances for us. And so yeah, I give him I'd say he'd be solid. I do. Obviously, the goals from him will come, but I thought he played solid today.
No, for sure. Scott, talk a little bit about that goal as far as the, in the tactical adjustment that, came in. And I also do want to give some props for Ben Davis, who did get the assist on that, whether by shit luck or pure determination. But I know in the Spurs Boys WhatsApp chat, a lot of people were kind of quick to slate Davis for his performance. When he slid out to left back, but I for one,
that's hard.
Really appreciate the versatility that he provides us. We were able to shift formations not once but twice while Ben Davis was out there, and I don't think any other player allows us to do that.
No, I agree with you there, and honestly, Davis had no business providing that assist considering where the pass came from, where the goal was scored from. That was inside the right channel. Scored from outside the box, basically. Like, why was he there? Because he's busting his ass, you know. It wasn't like some dime he dropped on Hojbjerg's foot or anything, but he was busy. He was harrying the opposition. Son won the ball back, passed it to Davies. Davies laid it off the Hojbjerg. It was a hustle play. You know, I have had my issues with Davies in the past, but I'm done with those. Like he's done enough for me to prove that that he is what we need in a bunch of different positions.
I'm definitely with you. I think he was very much Ben 6.5 Davis, but now it's Ben 7.0 Davis. Like
right, and even if today was a 6.5, like that was better than how many players we played, you know. And the Hojbjerg thing, I have not been his biggest fan since this. I've joined the podcast, and I knew he was going to score today. Just about like he was playing poorly enough. And I had my arguments against him built up in my head, and he scored. I was like, fuck me, of course. Of course he scores. Now I'm going to look like a dickhead. Yeah, now I'm like a dickhead when I talk shit about him on the podcast. But that was a great finish, though. Like, all jokes aside, that was pure. And he's got that in his locker. That's the thing that makes me so angry about him. Like, for
you see it for Denmark. Team,
yeah, mm-hmm. He's like fucking Pirlo for Denmark. And then he gets with us, and he's sometimes he is. Sometimes he's Iniesta.
Sometimes maybe good, sometimes maybe shit.
Yeah, he's a very good too, so yeah.
I knew that was coming.
He's got some Dembele, some Moussa Sissoko. He's got all the Moussas in him. but that was a hell of a finish. And it was such a good time. Like, we needed that. And Dustin, you're right. Like, he does that from time to time, and I don't know why.
He just has it in him.
Dustin, let's talk about the sideline theatrics that ensued after this Pierre Emile Højbjerg goal, along with the water break. Something or nothing there to start us off.
I'll take something. I told you guys in our group chat, like, I love some gamesmanship, like, you know, talk a little bit of smack, talk a little bit of trash. I mean, and it's not like they didn't do it either, because I mean, Thomas Tuchel, after the Reece James goal, took off and like he was way past us. It's like, it goes both ways. If one's going to do it, the other, I like it. I think Antonio Conte knows how to pull the right strings. That was something I thought at times when if the early days of Jose Mourinho, he would do stuff like that. And I was like, yeah, I can get behind that. Sometimes
Dustin, let me hop in for a sec. Sure. I got to do this just because if you're not already following Antonio Conte on Instagram, let me just tell you, sometimes maybe good, sometimes maybe shit. It's always a good follow for Antonio Conte. He had a screenshot of Tuchel streaking down the sideline in front of him. And lucky I didn't.
That's what I was referring to.
Making your trip over would have been well deserved. ... Crying laughing emoji. Crying laughing emoji. Crying laughing emoji. My fucking manager right there, Antonio Conte. Go ahead, Dustin.
Will you read it to us in Italian also?
Sometimes the same, maybe good, sometimes maybe shit. Yeah. That's what it is.
I was just hoping that would
hand
just
gestures.
I would just love Matt to just try to take his head at the Italian.
I know you guys are listening to this via the podcast, but just see that hand clenched emoji. That's what I got out there right now.
There's eight of us in here. We'd give it eight Italian hands out of eight. No, I like it. I like I said, I like you know, good managers, good coaches, whatever name you want to put on it. Know sometimes they've got, you know, they're willing to step up like that and, you know, make a statement and try to get the boys fired up. And I mean, it worked. It was something that we'll look back on at the end of the season, and we will love it.
No, I'm going to sure. Jordan, show what you think? Oh, go ahead, Scott. I'm sorry.
I got it. Can you see my phone?
Yes.
Do you see this picture?
So Scott is showing us.
Look at his hand.
It's the 72nd minute.
Yeah,
they're in Tuchel and Conte are in each other's face, both with their hands by their sides, like they're about to throw them. It's 1-1 at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but Tuchel's hands are widespread. Conte is in full fucking fist.
The difference is Tuchel's going to slap someone and Conte is going to give him the fucking sandwich. Like, he's going
to
put him on
his
ass.
Remember that when Conte first came to or first went to Chelsea, he was referred to as the werewolf, and I think the fucking claws were out today. I think that is
there was a quote about one of his players. I don't remember if it was at Juve or Chelsea or whatever. He said, I'd prefer to kill them.
Yep.
Like, that's what it felt like today. Like, he was going to put Tuchel in a locker and light it on fire. Like, you know who would win that fight. Like, Tuchel's a little nerd. they would end up going to you know, Anthony Taylor complaining about it. I loved it. I loved every bit of it. And I was wondering when Tuchel went streaking down the sideline, by the way, he was already on a yellow.
Right.
That it could have been a second yellow.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care because it's silly. Cause like that's strictly like procedural. I'm not going to argue about it or complain about it, but rules is rules. And that should have been a second yellow. Like he
So what Scott's alluding to is Reece James found the back of the net in the 77th minute to put Chelsea up 2-1. And Tuchel gave a little prance down the sideline.
Oh, it by was Antonio so nerdy. Conte.
It was very Klopp-esque.
It was one of the most.
No, don't even do that to Klopp. Like it was like
one of the most unathletic runs I've ever seen in my life. I'm a phys ed teacher, so I've seen a lot of unathletic
Minecraft tower before he did that.
I've seen a lot of unathletic movements in the gymnasium in my career. I'm heading into my 12th year of teaching, so I've seen a lot of unathletic movements. But that's going to be right up there. Jordan, what are your thoughts on these sideline shenanigans? Throughout this one, after the Højbjerg goal and after the Reece James go-ahead goal?
I mean, I guess after the Højbjerg goal, I loved it. I mean, I just feel like in rivalries like that, I mean, it's like the nature of the beast and that's bound to happen. Although I think Tuchel was kind of crying and moaning about because if you remember prior to the Højbjerg goal, it was
there was a foul,
alleged foul or challenge on Havertz. That Chelsea wanted to be like the fans were upset about or whatnot.
Was that a foul? It looked probably like a foul in real time.
If you notice, Bentancur kind of stopped because he had a feeling he knew he fouled, but the refs never called it. But then if you see
play on
angles, I guess if you see from certain angles,
you
have a touch on the ball, so it's kind of.
I guess under the whole clear and obvious wording of things, maybe not. You know what I mean?
It looked like a dead cert foul until I saw the angle, the opposite angle. Did you guys see that one?
Mm-hmm. Right, yes. Yeah.
Like I was like 99% sure it was a foul until I saw the other angle. I was like, well, clean. Yeah. Clean.
Let's get back to that Reece James goal. We'll start with you, Jordan. I, for one, very much thought Kulusevski was fouled along the touchline. Leading up to it, but there was a no call. I thought Koulibaly left him in a fucking heap, but a no call there, and that kind of led to the cross and then the absolute what is this, Scott? Thunder nugget, thunder fuck,
thunder bastard.
That was a good hit from a center back,
but you know
if Eric Dyer hit that, we'd be calling it a thunder bastard for sure.
I'm glad you brought Dyer up so I didn't have to. I love him, but that was so terribly defended. It felt like back three forgot they were in a back two all of a sudden. You know, like, because what was Dyer doing? Like, go watch it again. If you're listening now and you're near a screen, go watch it. Like, Romero was out wide because we're trying to build the play up on the right wing.
Right.
Romero was trying to play the ball out of the corner. Attack.
Yeah,
Romero's where Romero should be, but Dyer gets tight on the right channel. Mm-hmm. So now it's Ben Davies by himself with Raheem Sterling and Reece James. One of the two of them was going to score. Like Dyer had no business getting tight on that side. He should have settled back in and forced Chelsea to make a couple of harder decisions. Instead, it was layup goal. Like, you're right. It was outside the box. It was a good finish from Reece James. He's the best right wing back in the league for me. He's always going to finish that. But that was horrendous defending, and it was a situational thing. I'm sure we don't train that formation very often. Dyer, you know, is a slab head. He does it sometimes, but like that was a hard position to be in, but he didn't make the right choice.
Scott, was it a foul on Kulu?
Yeah. But still, like all things considered, like, yes, but did Bentancur foul Havertz? Yeah, maybe. Fair. Was Richarlison offside? Maybe. Did Romero give Cucurella the hair tug and the ass slap? Maybe. So, like, I'm not going to go there. We fucked it up multiple times after that. That's all I know.
No, we don't talk about Bruno.
We don't talk about Bruno. Jordan, come on in here with that one. First off, follow on Kulusevski. Do you have it there? And then leading up to that Reece James goal.
Yeah, but Scott said it perfectly. Like, I mean, all things considered, at the end of the day, that was pretty schoolboy defending. Just given the fact that the center backs are pretty like tight on the right, leaving Ben Davis pretty much exposed. Leaving Reece James pretty clear cut. I was hoping like either he would miss or Lloris would make a fantastic save, but at the end of the day, it was pretty inevitable. And honestly, Chelsea kind of just given how they played, they honestly deserve to be up. And Tuchel with his unathletic Klopp-esque, like B-Tech Klopp celebration.
Must be a German thing.
I guess so, but yeah, I mean, it was just definitely schoolboy defending, but I'm glad we rallied and got for a draw, obviously, but obviously, I mean, like Scott said, maybe it's perhaps most likely like a situation or a tactic we don't train in our practice, but at the end of the day, I mean, we kind of have to know better from a defensive standpoint just to leave someone just out open like that.
No, well, I guess
real quick before we move on, Matt, you remember Dyer pre-Conte was not this Dyer, right? Like, well, it depends if we're taking his name or the actual adjective. He was Dyer, but now he's Dyer. He wasn't good. Like, that was a back four Eric Dyer move. You know, like, what happened today was what you would have seen under Jose, or what you might have seen under Nuno. It wasn't an organized, I'm in control of this, I'm comfortable, everything's in front of me type of situation. So I think that might be why you don't see him in England. Like, I know it's silly that, like, he should be ahead of Connor Cody and Harry Maguire's playing like dog shit for United, but, like, that moment is why he's in the situation that he's in. Like, he's a back three for Conte. He's perfect for that. He's one of the best players in that role. When things change, there's room behind him. There's players around him. Like, it just changes things, which is fine. Like, he doesn't need to be that. He is what he needs to be for us. But it expressed and showed pretty clearly to me his limitations, which is fine. But it is what it is.
No, I definitely hear that and probably agree with most of that there. But, you know, Reece James equalized it in the 77th. Kai Havertz got a yellow for a little clash with Christian Romero in the 86th, then came off in the 90th. And then all hell broke loose. 90 plus 6 out of plus 6 minutes added, or plus 7 minutes added, as Ivan Perisic put in a hell of a corner to which Harry Kane, who otherwise was a pretty much a fucking ghost today, you know, found the back of the net and rescued the point for Spurs. Dustin, talk about that goal and, you know, the lead up and build up to that play.
Yeah. Well, one thing I was to mention too is I watched this game on delay, just because Sundays at 10:30 are a struggle for me to get into this game just because of church and whatnot. But I've wrote in my notes at halftime, I knew when Perisic came on, but I even wrote in my notes in the first, I was like, this game is just calling out for Ivan Perisic to come in. I said that at the halftime, and I even thought Bissouma at half would have been a good come in. Now, granted, we wouldn't have got the goal from – PEH scored the goal. I mean, that's why Conte's the manager and not me. But I thought Perisic also – I talked about Richarlison coming in to make a difference. I thought Perisic came in and made a huge difference. And then his services today, I mean, they have been great so far. But, I mean, man, he – when we need an important like on free kick situations and corners, like Perisic is a guy that I feel like is going to create a lot of goals for us and create a lot of action like that. But it was a good, you know, when was the last time we saw a good Harry Kane set piece corner header for a goal? Like, it's been a minute. So, and that was something I remember when I first started watching Spurs back in 16-17. That was the bread and butter for him. He had a lot of goals come off those set, like off those corners and good movement in the box. So it was great to see again today.
Yeah, for sure. Just absolute limbs.
Didn't he score one against Arsenal at the back post though? Like, this is the first time we've seen him.
Yeah,
as the first he did. Touch on a corner though.
Sonny whipped it in. Hot rod tipped it on, and he slid it at the back post for one. But still,
you're right. As the aggressor on a corner.
Yes.
Right. So after that goal, match was pretty much done. Handshake line goes through.
Oh, but it wasn't.
And the match kind of picked back up Antonio Conte shook Thomas Tuchel's hand, and Thomas Tuchel seemed to give quite a good grip on. There was a great I think it was Footy Trolls tweet, and there was some great memes going out there. Scott's showing the screenshot up there.
I know this is an audio medium, but this picture of Conte looking at his hand, this is meme, like, put meme potential is out of control with this one.
So we have a place in Rhode Island called Dell's Lemonade. It's a little frozen lemonade stand, and that's our header in Rhode Island Spurs right now. So shout out to my guy Ben who put that together. I put out one with Ronaldo on Tuchel's hand, and you know, Conte looking disgusted with it of he doesn't want Ronaldo. There is just some great stuff flying around there on the socials.
Did you see the Jurgen Klopp one?
Yes. So the chain of events. So Jurgen Klopp gives a handshake to Kai Havertz. Havertz gives a handshake to Tuchel, and then Tuchel gives that to Conte. As far as like the sequence of events that leads up to it, there's a lot of great stuff out there. This is pure comedy, pure theatrics. Both managers receive red cards. I saw Conte's, and it was a straight red. It was not a yellow and then a red. So yeah.
Tuchel's was the same way.
So they're both suspended.
Tuchel's was down. Does that make is that a one match ban or is that a three match ban? Because it was straight red.
It's one because it wasn't violent conduct.
Yeah.
Got it.
Okay.
So he's gonna miss the Wolves match.
Right. And I saw a tweet earlier that Ryan Mason has already been named the manager for the Wolves match, which didn't surprise me.
And then I think Chelsea played Leeds.
Yeah, yeah. So I absolutely love this, and I loved Conte post-match. And if you listen to this podcast at all, you know I'm pretty far from a happy clapper, I would say. I always have something to pick apart, and I was very much in love with this quote from Conte. He talked a lot about one of his pillars of coaching is about teams suffering, and he said that we suffered today and were able to rescue the point. And I think having this experience under match week two is just an absolute huge bonus for Tottenham going forward. And I think that this is Conte all in. I think that this is the team all in. I think that this could not have ended any better than him going to fucking war for this Spurs team and having that little riff with Tuchel. Jordan, what'd you make of those shenanigans?
I mean, I definitely loved every bit of it. It's the London Derby. I mean, two great managers. And I loved every aspect of it. Although I did, I'm not sure if you guys saw it, but I think I saw Tuchel's post-interview. And he said something about Conte not giving him eye contact during the handshake. And then if you remember, he like did the little eye.
Yep.
Even though I think it was kind of a little childish, but
give him the look at me, I'm the captain now.
But it was a little childish in my opinion, but I just love the intensity from the derby, and that's what it's all about. I mean these derbies aren't friendly. I mean, the Manchester derby obviously is pretty friendly, but when you have derbies like the London Derby or the North London Derby, like, don't expect like any like patty cakes or anything. You just expect all aggression. Speaking of that, while I'm at it, I want to give a shout out to Ramon Vega. Number one, he needs to grow a spine, because this is in regards to this tweet. Hold on a second.
You can read it.
Okay, he said basically he said, Conte, I have no problem having passionate emotions with your players and staff, but showing Schadenfreude on the sideline when your team scores and provoking your opponent's manager doesn't show the right example from a manager should not be in the game. At Spurs official. I think it's a pretty dumb tweet. I kind of called him out for
and
it.
And he added Spurs. Oh.
He actually quoted me with a little like finger down emoji, whatever that means. And I quoted him back saying, look at the replies. Basically, look at the replies of the people that are replying to your tweet, and everyone's saying that that's a pretty awful take. Right? I don't know.
Soft.
I don't know what like literally motivated him to tweet that, but it was pretty it's pretty out of touch and like pretty out of line tweets. So like, you need to grow a spine, dude. I don't really care.
And for him to choose a very German phrase to describe it is strange.
Right.
Wait, what does that even mean? Schrodenfreude, whatever.
Does it even fit the situation?
Hey, Jordan, you want to know what Antonio Conte thinks of that? I got a picture for you for that, too. He thinks this right here.
I agree.
That's
it. Just for the listeners, he's telling him to do one there. off, basically.
The most important thing here is we come away with the point. It's a better result than last season. I think it's a team-building result as far as the way things transpired. One big problem I had, and I know Scott's opposed to this, was the fucking jersey swapping at the end of the game.
No. I'm not opposed to it. I just think there's context.
I thought about your context a little bit. So let me give you the Schroden, whatever it is.
Schadenfreude.
Richarlison and Thiago swap shirts, and Bissouma and Cucurella shop. Swap shirts. Let me ask you,
when is the last time Richarlison played Thiago Silva in a league match?
Last season.
Before that?
I don't know. Last season.
I'm just saying, like, Thiago Silva is a legend.
Brazil teammates.
Yeah, like, that's a big deal to play against Thiago Silva. Like, you're not wrong. You should have done it in the tunnel. But still, like, that's a big deal for Richarlison to play Thiago Silva.
But still. Do it off camera.
Not wrong.
I don't want to see that disagree. Shit.
I don't
want to see you applauding the away fans and the traveling fans with your Chelsea shirt draped around your fucking shoulder after your manager just went to war for you. Cucurella and Bissouma, I get it.
Same thing.
Teammates last season. First time I played.
Do you think Bissouma had to trade him for a shirt and also get the hair back that Romero pulled out?
No, that was in Romero's pocket.
Oh, okay.
Did you guys think that was a red, by the way, the hair pull?
Yes, I did.
My heart says, no, absolutely not. My brain says, yeah, that was a red, for sure.
I think if it was somebody pulling, we don't have a player like with that hair. But
it would have had to be a red to be brought back, though. Like, anything else wouldn't have been brought back, right?
Right. Yeah. And the other interesting piece, as far as the U.S. commentary squad kept insisting that this was going to get looked at, but I put that out on Twitter, and they said that it cannot be looked at because VAR already did.
They reviewed it, right. Wow.
There will be no retrospective punishment on Cuy Romero for that one, which, awesome. Let's move.
Hey, you ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
That's it, man. But
I mean, Cucurella deserved it. I mean, he was getting all up in Romero's business, by
Scott,
the way.
You're bald. You can't justify that.
I got wigs upstairs.
I thought we didn't talk about Bruno.
No, that's it. this was definitely a match that Chelsea deserved to win, in my opinion. And I think we stole one.
Fair.
I think we were the tougher team on the day, and I think that's ultimately why we stole it. But ultimately, it's a point. It's a better result than where we were at last time. We've got a lot more to discuss. We're going to talk about the third kit finally getting dropped, and we'll talk a little bit about what's coming up next for Spurs, but we'll do that right after the short break. Welcome back to Tottenham Podspur. After breaking down that Chelsea match, let's talk a little bit about the third kit, which is finally officially announced by Tottenham Hotspur. So we've got all three kits. Jordan, let's start with you. How do you rank them from second to third?
Definitely the home kit is first for me. I don't think the home kit's that terrible, like that bad as much as fans are saying. I just am not the fan of the yellow.
Seems to be the common gripe with it.
Yeah, the highlighter, I guess, proper terminology. But I'd say that, and then definitely the third kit. I feel like the third kit should be our away kit. Kind of reminds me of the little bit of the I think it was the 2019
yes.
2020 blue, and then a few years back when we were with HP, they had one as well. I think that had the
navy collar.
Yeah,
that one.
I got that one. Yep.
I felt like that one should have been our away kit at least, but that comes in second. And obviously dead last is that god awful away, that black and blue, whatever. I don't know, like, who designed that or who like had that idea, but they should probably be fired on sight. I'm sorry, but it's not like it's just horrible. It's terrible. Like, come on now.
No, I'm with you. The diving kit is not the favorite of mine. For me, I'm just gonna flop. I'm gonna flop the third kit is my number one. The home, my number two, and the away is the third by a stretch. I had a great conversation with a friend of mine, Jeff from Rhode Island Spurs, and I eventually said to him, as a man with tits, I cannot rock the away shirt. It's just too, I just don't like it. But Scott, what do you think of the away kit? Sorry, the third kit, and how do you rank them?
The third kit is great. I actually like the home kit. I like the only reason I don't mind the yellow is because it's like a delineation, like it makes it clear. That is the collar. It's silly, but it's like, it's not that ugly. The diving kit, I think, is more like for Salah, somebody like that, that's willing to go over.
See what you did there.
I do love the third kit, though. I think it's great. I'll probably buy that one.
Oh, for sure. How about you, Dustin? Come on in on the kit talk.
I also really, really like the home kit. I've said before, it reminds me of the two, kind of. It gives me some 16-17 vibes with the blue with the yellow, or the blue with the yellow trim around the collar from our last season at White Hart Lane. Not obviously it's different shades of yellow, but it does give me that kind of vibe. I would probably say, though, my third kit is my favorite one. And you guys know how I feel about the color purple, so we don't have to the color itself, not the book or the movie. The book or the movie is great. The color purple itself, it doesn't work for me.
Oh, what? We've had some gorgeous purple kits.
No, yeah. I will say
the Under Armour purple was.
Oh, that was special. I got a Dyer kit from that season.
I will say the year we signed in Ndombele, where it was navy blue, but it had the purple accent on the top. I like that. That works good.
I got the Toby's one.
Yep.
Actually, the very first time I was ever on Podspur was when I got the Spurs Stories thing, and that was the day that kit for me came in the mail because I had ordered it because it was on super sale. But yeah, I like I say, throw away that away kit, and I really like what we're working with this year.
So I know we're tight here on time, but I love a good ugly kit. Like, but it's got to be a good ugly kit, like the space
that is
kit
not
last
this year's
year.
Away.
No, the space kit last year. The black,
that was a class kit. That was not ugly. Yeah. That was class.
But when I say ugly, I mean like non-traditional.
Oh, all right.
Like, I'm good for that. Like, I love that. And this is the away kit is just fucking ugly.
Have you guys seen that Galatasaray has the same kit? As our purple kit,
also
it's like yellow and orange and red, and it's not any better.
Let me just say, that's not really purple. That's just ugly. That's like an ugly blue. I don't want to ruin purple for people. Right. Technically, Dustin, I think that is a flavor of purple. That's like a Dimetap purple. That's not like popsicle purple.
I will say last year's purple kit was better than this year's purple kit.
I feel like everything purple that has existed
before is better. I like gumballs more than I like Dimetap. So
I don't know. I think they both fucking suck. But
I wouldn't disagree. But I'm just saying I think it's better. Last year's purple was better.
Yeah, I don't know, the puke green with it. I just whatever. But scary. Dustin, before we do sign off, take us through the rumor roundup. As we did say, actually, before we do that, before I kick it to you. Also worth noting, former Tottenham Hotspur player Steven Bergwijn notched a hat trick today for Ajax. So Stevie B, you know, I know you do have some fans here at the Potspur Studios, but Dustin, take us through the latest rumor roundup in a briefer segment than normal.
Yeah. So one piece of news before I do that, what I thought was really cool was we did announce that Yaya Toure and Jermaine Defoe are going to be working with our youth kids. I think those are two great additions to work with our youth kids. I'm sure you guys were excited as I was to see those names pop up, working with our younger squad. But the three names we're going to talk about are the three deals that are very close to being done. And one of those is actually done, and that starts with the loan move for Giovanni Lo Celso. The club announced today, what, an hour or two after the match, that he was going on a season-long loan to Villarreal. From what I've read, it's just a straight loan for a year. But I've also read, and I erased it because I'm stupid, it was either DiMarzio or Diario or Fabrizio Romano. One of the big sources had tweeted with it that there is a clause in there that if a team wants to approach Spurs to make a permanent transfer, Giovanni Lo Celso could agree to end his loan at Villarreal so he could be sold on for a permanent. And like I said, I'm an idiot, and I erased it. And it would take me longer to get to it than it would actually be worth trying to find it. So sorry for people who want to know where I got that source. It was a good source too. The other two I want to mention,
it was Fabrizio. I think it was one of those.
Yeah, it was a quality one. That's why I mentioned it. Destiny Udoge, it was last week. There was a lot of information about him coming in and him. It seemed imminent. Actually, I say earlier this week. That is going to happen. It was reported on the 10th, which was Tuesday, that he will be traveling to that him being Destiny Udoge will be traveling to London on Monday the 15th, and his medical will be completed on Tuesday the 16th. Yesterday he was left out of the Udinese side, and they had said, or Fabrizio Romano said, he through his talks, it was hey, we don't want to screw anything up with his medical. All sides agreed with it. It was good. So Destiny Udoge, for those of you who don't know, he's going to sign a 5-year deal with Spurs, but he is going to go back for one more year at Udinese and continue his development. There's a lot of different sources, or Ali Gold reported that Antonio Conte and Fabrizio Paratici believe that he will be Premier League ready at the end of this loan. So that's really, really exciting. That seems like a really good replacement to when Ivan Perisic does end up moving on, because he's only on a 2-year deal. The other name that seems to be really close to being done is Tanguy Ndombele, and it looks like we are going to be able to get him out of the club. On yesterday, Fabrizio Romano reported that Spurs and Napoli had reached an agreement for a loan with an option to buy. The kind of terms of that was it was going to be a £2.5 million loan fee, and if Napoli qualifies for next season's Champions League, they will make the deal permanent for a fee right around the £11 million mark. You know, if you think about it, £13.5 million total for the guy who was our club record signing. It now is in the category of bad business, but you know what? We're dumping the salary with it. I think they said they're going to do like a 50-50 split on the salary this year. So that means we'll be paying 100K and they will be playing 100K or whatever the conversion rate is to euros. But that was what it hits 200K pounds. So those are our three big ones. There's more. You know, you guys know me. I have names like Brian Hill and Lucas Paqueta and all those that we could talk about, but you know, just for sake of time, those are the big ones popping up. So,
no, for sure. Thank you for keeping your ear and nose down trail, Dustin. We definitely appreciate that. I know it's a lot of work, and that spreadsheet has got you going and got you
running. With school starting, it's when I see stuff. What I'll do is on my lunch, I'll usually try to go through and just see what's been going through, and I'll just sit and retweet it. And then when I get home that night, it's let's update the spreadsheet.
There you go. I like that. So we got Wolves up next at home. I fully expect this one is going to be a thunder bastard of a game for Wolves. They're not going to be able to get through this one. I think the squad just comes out firing behind what Conte did for them today. I fully expect a win. But Jordan, again, always a pleasure to have you on. I loved having you back on the pod. Give us your final thoughts, and you know, we'll begin to wrap this one up.
Yeah, at the end of the day, it was a hard-fought, well-deserved draw. I know, obviously, we didn't play well. I mean, every Spurs fan knows that Chelsea was the better team. But I guess one takeaway we can conclude from this is, despite the fact that we didn't play well, the fact that we were able to give out a draw shows, resilience and perseverance of this team. So, I mean, if we can pull out a draw against a top four team like Chelsea on a not so great day at the office, then, in my opinion, that's a sign of good things to come for this season. So, great draw, great hard fought draw. Looking forward to Wolves. Think we'll be a comfortable win, but glad to be back on this pod, Matt. You know, it's been a long time, and always love doing the pod with you, and glad to be back, man. It just feels so great, man.
Appreciate that. We love having you back. As far as the draw, to quote Harry Kane, it was a spicy one, and I like that. I like the resilience. I like the suffering that we showed, and we were able to get that. Scott, what do you got for us?
Well, a couple quick ones. So I actually love that Conte has more reasons to hate Chelsea. You know, it's kind of like the Udoge thing to me. Like, it's just one more reason to keep having him coming back every season. Like, fuck Chelsea, fuck Chelsea, fuck Chelsea. Like, as long as Tuchel's there, he's got incentive to come back and stuff him in a locker again. You know, it's just give me more reasons for him to keep coming back. I know I'm like desperate for him, but give me a reason not to be, and I'll
right.
start to believe it. And then too, like the mentality of the whole thing, it's how long have we watched us play these matches and just lose them? You know, like it the fact that we found a way not to lose, and he said it last season in Brighton against Brighton, just don't lose, right? Just don't lose. If you're going to get outplayed, just don't lose. Well, we found a way to not lose. Not only did we find a way
and
to
we
not
get
lose,
outplayed.
We found a way to fight for it. Like the Brighton match was different that we'd lost it at the end. This one, we found a way not to lose and we fought back for it. And there was this emotional aspect to it that I think will set the tone and also give plenty of reasons to improve. And now is Cesc safe? Is Royale safe? Is Højbjerg safe? Is Son, of course, is safe, but like all these players, there's like we got a good result and there's uncertainty. Everybody's got to fight for their place. It's kind of a good thing at a good time.
No, I like that. And you know, you mentioned Sonny, and we didn't mention him at all in this podcast, and that is very unlike us. I think we're all big Son fans, but you know, just not his best outing today. But you know, very well said, Scott. I do like that wrap up. Dustin, what do you got for us?
You know, like I think you guys hit the nail on the head. Sometimes you play ugly and you scrap a point, and that's going to be if we have aspirations to lift some silverware, you know, getting results when you play ugly are extremely important. Next week we got Wolves. I would not be surprised. Actually, I'm going to go on record and make a prediction that we will see a little bit of a lineup change. I really think next week we're probably going to see the first start for Ivan Perisic. And it's nothing against Sessegnon. It's just I think it's time to maybe see some of those guys get a little bit more, you know, see what we've got. You know, Wolves have got 1 point on the season. They lost to Leeds week one, which is not a good loss because Leeds is a team I believe that's going to struggle to stay up. And then they tied with Fulham, and Fulham's the yo-yo club. So where does that – you got those two results, and that puts you in that category. By the way – if anyone is looking for a comedy to watch on Amazon Prime, there's this thing called All or Nothing Arsenal. And it is, I have never laughed so hard. And I will just say this, if Mikel Arteta does get axed from Arsenal, I think he has a career as an artist. It's worth, like, I'm going to struggle through it.
Teacher, right?
Oh my gosh. He drew the worst heart and brain on a piece of paper I've ever seen in my life. I'm like, is this real? And the guys are just looking at him like, what the fuck? Like, they're just looking at him like, I made the decision.
To be fair, it's not like they were going away to Liverpool that week or anything. So,
no, they were playing.
Away at Liverpool.
Yeah. It was, oh my gosh. It's like, I made the decision, like, I'm going to do this because I know how it's going to end. And I didn't know there would be so much joy in the middle of it with graphs and pictures and charts and
you're
blank, stupid expressions. But it is, when the label of comedy is on there, it is 100% accurate. So I would just like to recommend anyone who likes a good laugh. There's something out there for everybody.
Awesome. Thank you for that, Dustin. On that note, that'll wrap things up for this episode. Thanks again for coming back home to Podspur. We appreciate your support. Again, if you're not already, check out all of our accounts on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Follow each of the guys and check out our blog and website at podspur.com. Just a reminder, you can get a quick access to all of those links in one neat location by clicking the link tree in this episode description. If you've enjoyed the show, please leave us a rating and a review on whichever podcast platform you listen to. 5 stars goes a long way to helping fellow Spurs supporters find the show. So thanks again for tuning in. I've been your host, Matt. For Scott, Dustin, and Jordan, we'll see you next time. And as always, come on, you Spurs.